This will be the last in my series on Psalm, and beginning the next series, I'm going to speak on Paul's greatest chapters. It will be very, very interesting, starting with Romans 8, and then we go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Lord, it's been very hard for many of us, Lord, a co-worker whose husband died just last month, and the funeral was last week, and we see there are a lot of disasters, death, and there are a lot of bad news in the world, Lord. And how are we to get to stomach all this, Lord? We ask for your help as we look into Psalms 88. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. I have suffered my share of abandonment, possibly more than others. When I was less than 5 years old, I woke up in the middle of the night and saw my mom packing a suitcase. And she said to me, "Go back to sleep. Here are some chocolates and some money." And I never saw her again the next 15 years until I was 20 years, an adult at 20 years old. My wife Doris died when she was 53, exactly 10 years ago this month. And her dream of aging and serving together with me was shattered. In pain, after my wife died, I carried her ashes in this locker of mine, and I cried for a year, and I changed my glasses to something uneven to say my life is uneven after my wife passed away. And I cut my hair bald after she died. And I wrote 7 years of blog to talk about what I do every day, telling my wife. And last year, my mom passed away in Singapore, only with a domestic helper at hand. All her four children, including one from her remarriage, were overseas. One in Kuala Lumpur, one in LA, one in Hong Kong, and one in Perth. And after she passed away, the next month, my brother passed away. And I was by his bed 10 days before he died. He said to me, "Brother," he was 66 years old, "I want to live until I'm 72, like our grandfather and like our father." And he passed away 10 days later. There's a song I like for a long time. It's called, "A Man is Lonely by Birth. Man is Only a Pilgrim on Earth." Have you experienced brokenness and brokenheartedness? How do you overcome it? Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? And how is all our troubles, how is it best given to God rather than guarded by ourselves? So in Psalms 88, we go through this psalm would be my last, because last year was my retirement, so I wanted to do something very special. And I said Psalms 88 is very bad, so I'm going to go through Psalms 88. Okay. The first thing I want to say from Psalms 88 is that when you're going through a loss, it's best to gape in your loss. Gape is just to look at something without a reason. Okay, gaps and gape at loss. Let's look at Psalms, what happened to the psalmist. Verse 1 through 7. 1, 2, 3. "O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my prayer. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, and the slain who is in the grave. When whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your ways." There's little we can do when we are when we experience loss, but except to cry it out. Sometimes you cry it out loud, and even cry to God, as proven by many people. Here are some prayers that a lot of people, let's read. My little bark sails on a restless sea. Grant that Jesus may sit at the helm and steer me safely. The voyage is long, the waves high, the storms pitiless, but my help is held steady. O God, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Keep me ever mindful of the shortness of life, the solemnity of death, and the glory of Christ. May I never do anything out of revenge, never do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Lord, let every moment be spent for your glory, that I may live all my might while I do live. O Lord, everything good in me is due to you. The rest is my fault. Isn't it? Next one. Christian, has not taught you by his word and spirit how to read the shorthand of his providence? Do you not know that the saints' afflictions stand for blessings? We are never nearer Christ than we find ourselves lost in our own misery. To thee I come in my difficulties, necessities, distress. Possess me with thyself, with a spirit of grace and supplication, with a prayerful attitude of mind, with access into warm fellowship, so that in the ordinary concerns of life, my thought and desires may rise to thee, and in habitual devotion, I may find a resource that will soothe my soul, sanctify my success, and qualify me in all my ways or dealings with my fellow men. So, in our loss, there's nothing we can do but to cry out loud, cry to God, and to cry for mercy. And Psalms 88 is one of the most intense, identifiable, because we all go through moments like this. But it's very, very troublesome, because we do have to go through troubles in our life. My professor once said, this is one of the saddest psalms in the Bible. And there's a very famous commentator that said that this is the darkest, the gloomiest of all the sad psalms in the Bible. That's what I want to run through. And when you go back to the text, you'll be surprised. The first one, text, yeah, okay. Through all 150 psalms in the Bible, this is the only psalm that starts with, O Lord God. Why? Because through all his troubles, he wanted to be a heartfelt prayer to God. Yet on the other hand, he wanted to honor God when he had gone through all his troubles. And even he understands he was helpless in his introduction and intercession to God. So he can only begin with, oh Lord God, I cannot do it by myself. And he said, I cry out before you. Cry in the Bible is not like tears. It's really a loud voice. It's really a loud voice, powerful, passionate, and piercing voice with its volume. So when you are going through the hardest time, all you can do is sometimes gasp, groan, and cry out to God. And you stay in the hollow air, don't know what to do. And then you say, in the imperative in Hebrew, turn your ear to my cry. Turn your ear. And turn your ear is in the Psalms occurred like 8 times. What does the ear mean? May I have your ear? we call for God, not just because it's imperative, no need not request. Sometimes in our lives we require God to give us our full, favorable, and foremost attention to us when we are in the misery. There's nothing we can do except to run to God, ask for mercy. Now, why? Because you see the four in the Greek, in Hebrew, this is a because. B Because my soul is full of trouble. In the original, trouble is plural. Okay? But they don't know how to translate it, so they put it, my soul is full of trouble. Trouble is already plural. Full is another word for more than, it's more than one. So it say, my heart, my soul is full of trouble. And from there on, he talks about all the troubles he has seen. You can go to the next chart, please. Yeah. The chart, yeah. Now, this here are some of the objects he used in to talk about all the losses he had endured. As you can see, when it verse 6, he first talked about the pit. Okay? The pit, first time in the Bible, refers to Joseph. When his brothers wanted to sell him, they throw him into the pit. So it's a death experience for him. The second one, verse 5, he said the grave. The grave appears in the Bible for the first time. Jacob, who mourned for his father Joseph in the grave. The third, there's another grave. There's a different word in Hebrew. Okay, but this second grave talks about Abraham buying a burial place for his wife Sarah. Another grave. And verse 7, depths and waves are from Jonah, when he was swallowed by the fish, and his fish prayer comes out of this, all the depths and waves. So you can see from he has a very intense experience, but through your intensity, what can you do? But you can just cry out to God and groan. I have a coworker whose husband passed away, and the funeral was this week. And yesterday, a few later, we went to a retreat together from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. She couldn't survive until lunch when he had to leave because the place also brings a lot of memories. Sometimes in the loss and the troubles, we can only gasp and groan, and we can look into empty air for no solutions. But that is the way to be given to God. The second thing is to, when we have the grief and grimace in our loneliness, okay, we can only grieve. Not stare at the sky, but we have to grieve. Let's read together. You have taken from me my closest friends and made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Okay. And next PPT. Pew Research Center had a survey, and this survey, 38% say they have 5 or more friends. 13% say they have 4 close friends. 18% say they have 3 close friends. 14% say they have 2 close friends, and this is getting bad. 7% say they have 1 close friend, and 8% they have no friends. Let's read. This is a very classical quotation on friend. Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3. A blessed thing it is to have a friend, one human soul whom we can trust utterly, who knows the best and worst of us, and who loves us in spite of all our faults, who will speak the honest truth to us while the world flatters us to our face and laughs at us behind our back, who will give us counsel and reproof in the day of prosperity and self-deceit, but who again will comfort and encourage us in days of difficulty and sorrow, when the world leaves us alone to fight our own battles we can. And the psalmist in 88, not only did he suffer loss, he found that his friends have abandoned him. Let's go to the passage again. Yeah. That's what he said, that you have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. The friend's word will come out in verse 8 and verse 18. Now this time the friend is different. This time the friend is gone bad. Someone who once became a friend of yours, when you're suffering, they become your enemies. And there are times they're like this. Why I chose this psalm is because I see the word closest friend occur twice. And sometimes when you live until you're like He's 65, me 65, okay? You find that you still want your friends, but find that they're fast disappearing from you. So this psalm attracted me because talk about friends. But I find it very alarming because I feel like this experience, you find that your friends disappear when you need them so much. And these friends sometimes is translated as acquaintance in other Bible, okay? Sometimes it's translated as companion in the English Standard Version. And you know, at my age, and by some of you aging, you find that you have no interest in losing your friends because you have so few of them. And you want to keep your friends, but sometimes in trouble, friends tend to not only disappear, sometimes they gone bad, they become your enemies. You don't know what happened. And here in verse 8, you have taken me from my closest friend. Taken in Hebrew means distant, very far off. Not just taken, but they left you so far away. So you feel that everything is distant, everything is detached, and all of them have departed. So it could happen to anybody, not only the old, it can happen to young. It can happen to you when you're single or whether you're married. It can happen to you whether you're rich or poor. And this is why he says that he's grieving through his loneliness. All his friends have departed from him. Especially once you reach retirement, you have less friends because some of the friends have passed away and you may even perish. And verse 8 says, you have made me repulsive to them. They are very disgusted at you. Disdain you, okay? And this repulsive in Hebrew is even better than it say it's an abomination. You have made me an abomination. Abomination is a religious word. Abomination, you need to cleanse it, okay? You need a priest to certify you. So you feel that you are so outcast, and that's what he is feeling. All my friends detest me, they discriminate against me. When you're going through trouble, not good times, okay? It's a sickness, abomination. It's a stigma, okay? And it's a scandal in the Old Testament. So you find that you're so left out everywhere you go. And there are two friends. First 8 is about friends who turn enemies. And in the last friend is about friends who disappeared, okay? And so it's saying that and when you have this, and when you have your friends who left you, so you can be very strong, but still you grieve because you find that you're very lonely. All your friends have left you, okay? And here it says that my eyes are dim with grief. My eyes are dim with grief. And now, this word grief, very interesting, makes its debut in the Bible, first time in the Bible. It's so hard for him. This grief is in Hebrew is more or less pining for something, aching for God, aching your friends, agonizing for your friends, angling for some acceptance from your friends. But you found that when you're going through some of the deepest sorrows, you find that some of them have disappeared for good. Not only they disappeared for good, now they become your enemies. You are bad case, they don't want to be attached to you. You're an abomination. Okay, that's the worst case. And the word this is very famous word for Job. Job, who used it 3 times in the Bible. And the other time, there are only a few times in the Bible. And one more time is used in Lamentations. Only Job and Lamentations. Lamentations is Jeremiah crying. So this one is, my eyes are so dim because of crying. So it's like, and when you're down, people rub salt to the wound. Cry in disbelief. Now, this is a very wonderful poem. There's no grief is in the eyes. And then I call to you is with the mouth. And then I spread out my hands to you. So you can see. The psalmist crave for God. Call is to communicate. And spread hands is to contact with God, but you find that God and His presence are no longer there. Let's go to the next passage. But yet through all the sorrows, trials, and troubles, you find that there's still growth in you. And you can glean from what you have gone through and become a part of your learning experience. Let's read verses 11 to 18. I'll let you guys read. 1, 2, 3. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to you. All day long they surrounded me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and close friends from me. The darkness is my closest friend. At this time in your life, when you're going through all your trials and troubles, the only thing left for you is faith in God. A pastor once talks about in his church was a banker, a wealthy banker, who sometimes comes to his church, and every time he comes to church, the pastor is always speaking on faith. And so the banker said to the pastor, "Why don't you preach on something other than faith? Why do you preach on something practical?" And so, a few days later, there was trouble, and there was a run on this bank, and there were rumors, and everybody ran to the bank to get their money. And the minister and the pastor went down to the bank to see what was going on. And he found that people were demanding their money, wanting to withdraw all their ATM money. And the people were scared. And then he saw this banker. He was saying to everybody, "Everything is all right. There's nothing wrong with the bank. It's just rumors. It's just rumors." And then the pastor touched him on the shoulder and said, "What's the matter?" And the banker said, "Nothing is wrong, but these people have lost faith in the bank." And the pastor said, "Do you remember when you told me to preach on something more practical than faith?" And then the man said, "Oh, yes. I remember it very well. I take it all back." After all, there's nothing more fundamental to the business interest and commercial of life as faith. When you're going through trials and troubles, nothing can help you but faith in God's grace, God's mercy, and God's help. This is true. Up to Psalms 88, the psalm with the most questions is in Psalms 42. Psalms 42 has 7 questions. The most famous is the song we sing, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" In Psalms 42, twice, it says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you downcast, O my soul?" But in Psalms 80, it has the most questions of any psalms in the Bible. 8 questions. Let's go to there. See the next PPT. Yeah. Is your love declared in the grave? Is your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness? Are your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? Why, O Lord, do you reject me? And why hide your face from me? It goes on and on until the last verse. We got another PowerPoint. This is a wonderful, wonderful poem. Do you see the comparisons? Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction. Grave and destruction is a pair. And what it's saying is that I want to be alive. I want to be here to acknowledge you. I don't want to be in the grave. I want to acknowledge you. Verse 12, in the darkness and the land of oblivion. See, I want to be here, Lord, to admire you, to adore you. Verse 13, but I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you, to you and before you in the morning. The psalmist wants to remain. Despite the loss he has, he wants to be to have this appointment with God every morning. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Reject and hide is a pair. In Psalms, in poetry, they like to use comparisons and say and talk about his absence. Absence is no good, Lord. I want to be here with you. From my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. Is with compared with I am in despair. Talks about his affliction. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. Swept over me and terrors destroyed me by God's anger and wrath. All day long they surround me like a flood. Surround me is to engulf me. The aggression of his trials and troubles. You have taken my companions and loved ones. The darkness is my closest friend. And in the end, he says that, Lord, I am abandoned. I have been forsaken and forgotten. But verse 13 is critical. I cry to you for help, O Lord, in the morning. And this word cry is more like cry out, like the volume. It's implore you more than just weeping. He's not just weeping. He's saying, Lord, I cry to you louder and louder, louder, hear my voice. Okay. Now, cry and cry out is very different in the Bible. Cry is just a feeling. Okay, it's frustration. It's a fact. It's a flow of tears. But I cry out to you is very different. It's our faith. It's our focus. It's our fortitude. I can continue use my voice rather than use my tears to you. And let's go to the next chart. Oh, no more? Oh, go back. No more? Oh, okay. Anyway, and he uses all you seem like, go back to the text. Okay. You see, it seems like this psalmist has no faith, but it's not true. Because a lot of his words from verse 11 onwards, if you don't know, verse 13 onwards is taken from Job, the most long-suffering person in the world. He uses Job. How did he use Job? Yeah. I cried. Okay, this is from Job, who used it 8 times, more than any person in the Bible. You might be verse. And do you know, I love Job. Somebody said Job is the greatest poet, wrote the greatest poem in the world, in the book of Job. Job is written in a poem form, not in a narrative form. And you might be interesting. The word cry never occurred in the book of Job. The word that Job used a lot is I cry out. It's in the voice, not in the tears. Keep on continue struggling with God. And so he said, I cry, I cry, I cry. He used Job, who uses 8 times in the Bible. And in verse 14, to hide your face, okay? Hide your face, first time occurs in the Bible, in the book of Job. Okay? So he's like using Job for all his prayers, okay? And then the next one in verse 15, okay? Terrors. They are found 6 times in the book of Job. More than any book in the Bible. More than any book and chapter in the Bible. And verse 16, the second word for terrors. Okay, this one is original to Job. It never occurred in the Bible until so late in the book of Job. Now, the word terror is very interesting. The word terror in other books of the Bible is in the singular. Okay, only in the Psalms terrors are in the plural. So, but he used all the words of Job to his advantage in prayer. And like a flood, occurs the most in Job and Psalms. Okay, same time. Okay. But Job has only 42 chapters, but Psalms 150 chapters, but they equal the same. So, what do I want to say in the end? Job, he has suffered the most. He has seen the worst in life. And he stood the tallest in persecution. And the psalmist prayed this prayer because he wants to refer to Job. Because Job, he struggled. Job had maybe stumbled, okay? But in the end, he scraped through and survived all his trials and trouble. He strove the hardest. He stirred, he surmounted, and he survived all his trials and troubles. May we have the same prayer in our lives, to go through all the sufferings in life, but we can use Job's example to be able to grieve, even to be able to groan, and in the end, we need to grow. Okay, the last PowerPoint. I say this because I've seen a lot of suffering lately. Okay, what are we to do? The first thing is that it's the verb shed. Shed our tears. Cry. Shed. I cried for a year until the pastor said to me, "How much longer are you going to cry? Do you have no faith? Where's your faith?" How do you explain to people who have not suffered the loss? Okay, but shed your tears. Shed it. Okay? Don't keep it in your heart. Second is to sense it. After your tears is maybe occasionally, but sometimes you feel all these frustrations, you feel this all anger, you face all this loneliness, emptiness. Take the full sense of it. The person who survived loss fastest is the one who senses all their senses, not hide their senses. Okay, the third one is to what's the one? Share. Okay? Share about what you've gone through. I blocked 7 years about what I've gone through. Every time I say, "Dear wife, today so and so so," but I block it because it helps me to have a sense of sanity. I don't think I can talk to my wife, but I can romantically still be able to talk to her. And the fourth point is state it. Say it out. State it in your, put it in writing or something like that. State it, okay? You state it in art, you state it in song, but you can do something about it, okay? State what you're going through. State it. And the last one is to ship it. You cannot keep it forever, okay? This is my 10th year, okay? After first year, my feelings begin to shift, to do something more with my feelings. Maybe it's in interest, maybe it's in hobby, maybe in picking up friends, maybe in serving in church, but you must shift away from that intensity for after the first year. So this is Psalms 88. Let's pray. Lord, just want to pray for people in our church, our fellowship, people we know. Lord, there's so much grief going on, sometimes we don't realize it, but behind the person we see every day, sometimes there's trouble at home, there's trouble in the office, and sometimes their inner life is wrecked. So we pray, Lord, that you give them faith in you, Lord, in their loneliness, in their loss, Lord, that they may be able to grow and they may be glean from life, Lord. We are no experts, Lord, But we know, Lord, by our faith in you, Lord, you help us to overcome it slowly, Lord, not suddenly. But Lord, you will help us to overcome it strongly in the end. And this is a prayer like Job, Lord, who has gone through so much, Lord, but he strove and he survived and succeeded to be a man of God. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.